The following is a lecture by His Holiness Rompada Swami, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 1st Chapter, Verse 22, in St. Louis, Missouri, on December 4th, 2005.
Om na sandarshito dhatra Nusaram nishtitir shatam Kalam satvaharam pungsam Karnadhara ivanavam Om na sandarshito dhatra Dustaram nishtatir shatam Halim satvaharam pungsam Karnadhara ivarnavam Tvam
Your goodness
Naha
Unto us
Sandarshitaha
Meeting
Dhatra,
by providence,
dustaram,
insurmountable,
nishtatirshatam,
for those desiring to cross over,
kalim,
the age of Kali,
sattvaharam,
that which deteriorates the good qualities,
Pungsam
of a man.
Karnadharaha
Captain.
Iva
as.
Arnavam
the ocean. Translation, we think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization, but due to this dangerous age, people have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say, there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. Heavy sentence. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification, and if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. If a learned man thinks it over. Learned man therefore must be cautious in this age. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow in the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sutta Goswami or his bona fide representative as the captain of the ship. And the last sentence is, the ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna. in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important verse. Prabhupada would recite this, or it's common in some places, at least at one point in time, a series of verses were recited at the beginning before uttering this very means of good from the next chapter. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality and Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Narayanam namaskritya, naram chaiva narottamam. You've heard this one, Chakri, right? Devim Saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udhirayat. Jayam, the means of conquest. That's this Srimad Bhagavatam. So, along with this Narayanam Namaskrityam, this verse is also often recited. Tvam na sandarshito da tra. Dustaram nistatir shitam. Kalim sattvaharam pungsam. Karna dhara. Karna means ear and dhara means like to hold. That which through the ear uplifts one's consciousness. That's spiritual sound vibration. That's the Vedas. And specifically it's the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or Prabhupada is including the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes this in this metaphor, the human form of life is said to be the boat suited for crossing over the ocean of material existence. That is, so the boat needs a captain. The ocean of material existence is the cycle of repeated birth and death and the involvement of living entities in fruitive activities that lead to further karmas, that lead to further births and deaths, and the endless cycle of up and down in the waves of this endless. Even the ocean has its limits, but the material existence has, practically speaking, the living entity can stay forever in this material world. Sometimes people ask, you believe in reincarnation, does the reincarnation idea allow for the fact that all living entities will eventually get relief from the cycle of birth and death? And the answer is no. Because the act of coming to this material condition is an act of free will. If one doesn't change the channel and make the free will act to get released from material existence, one, Krishna indicates in Bhagavad Gita, perpetually I cast those living entities into the wombs of demoniac species. And it's not an act of maliciousness or something like that. It's the desire of the living entities, and the Lord's reciprocating with that misuse of free will. And so the sages of Naimisharanya, they've switched the channel. They want to move beyond this very inauspicious condition of the age of Kali, where sattva haram, the qualities of goodness, are haram, destroyed. That's already been discussed in this chapter. Praina, payushak shabya, kalavasmin yugejana, manda sumanda matayo, mandabhagya yupadvrita. In this chapter, we've recently read the verse. In this age of Kali, the sages of Naimisharanya aren't giving the list like is found in the 12th canto. The list in the 12th canto is shocking. Whoa. We think it's getting bad. It gets so bad. It's the description in the 12th canto. It's worth reading sometime just to make your hair stand on end thing. I don't want to be around when that's happening. The physical stature, all good qualities diminish, so any qualities of goodness are deteriorated. That is, the principles of sacrifice unto God are gone. And because there's no sacrifice, there's no rain. Because there's no rain, there's no vegetation. Because there's no vegetation, but there are living entities, then living entities just become cannibals. It's described they bear children just so they have something to eat. And saintly persons, this happens way before the end of Kali, but saintly persons just go into hiding because it's so abominable. Just they leave what's called civilization. And then they become objects for hunt and prey as food for the malicious, vicious denizens of this age of Kali. And anyway, so many horrible things. People, the size, the stature diminishes and diminishes, and so the maximum height becomes like a pygmy size. It's very, very scary. And we think, oh. But we can see, even in our lifespan, such abominable things happening. Shocking. And the materialists just look at it as, you know, just as economics. You know, the reactions in the, rather than going in the whole direction of what's falling apart like anything. Just somebody who's an economist was describing, yes, the inflation is going on at a very predictable rate in, you know, meat and poultry, because of mad cow disease and whatever this flu is with birds, that are literally killing by the millions. They're just birds. But how do they get to be birds? At least some portion of them is persons who killed the birds. And then they take birth and get this disease and get killed by the millions. So the cost of poultry is growing. The cost of meat is growing. People have an appetite that's insatiable, and so they'll pay the price, the cost of energy. Anyway, they just look at it as, you know, inflation. It's godless. It's unconscionable. As soon as you, just as Prabhupada is saying, very succinct in this purport, a learned person who thinks over the matter carefully will understand. Intentionally, children are being sent to a slaughterhouse education. I mean, right in the front end is, God is banned. You can't, it's against the law, you'll be thrown in jail. Be kicked out of school or thrown in jail if you teach or talk about God. And that's, and education is compulsory. What's that? And how many hours, for how many years, are kids exposed to atheistic doctrine? And the whole nation sends everybody through that process. God is banned, and you have to go. And so, then the parents try to give God consciousness to their kids in the home. But what's their sense of what is God consciousness? It's a product of that whole system, generation after generation. It's just filtering out whatever remains as good qualities, so that people in ignorance accept what's not to be done as what's to be done. What's to be done is what's not to be done. It's knowledge in the mode of ignorance, which is the product of the slaughterhouse education system. And Prabhupada puts an important adverb, intentionally. Now, it's not that the original founding fathers decided, let's set up a country that sends everybody to hell. There was, you know, in God we trust. But the separation of church and state, to keep the intermingling factors that destroyed things in Europe, and now over here in this place, just as from an American perspective, but, you know, the American view is filtering its way through, like sewage seeping its way through all the world, all the continents. Democracy, where you separate God from government. And so then there's this compulsory education thing. Anyway, it's insidious. It can't go up. It's by design, it's go down. And so, prayinal payushak shabya. Prayina is almost complete. Almost always is the word for word in the text 10 of this chapter. Just like nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, by the process of bhakti, all abhadras or inauspicious things are nashta, they're destroyed. Almost completely in the nishta stage. Anarthas are removed almost completely, almost to nil. And that's what the bhakti process does for abhadras, and what the materialistic process does is good qualities are almost destroyed. So there's a barbell with two big weights on either end. Prayina alpa. Alpa means tiny, meager. Alpa medasam. There's sumedasam and there's alpa medasam. Again, these two ends of the barbell. Alpa means very meager. Sumeda is very, very good intelligence. Alpa medasam is no intelligence. Prayina payushak shabya. Shabya, people in general. Kalav asmin yuge jana, people who live within this age of Kali. Manda, they're lazy. Sumanda matayo, misguided. Manda bhagya. Manda is a strong word. They're very unfortunate. That means their pious activities are depleted, and so they have no arrows in their quiver. They have no means of fighting this age of Kali because they don't have any strength. They can only draw upon misfortune to try to get out of misfortune. And therefore they feel fearful and panicky and angry, and the exhibitions of anger are seen all over the place. And above all, always disturbed, upadruta. This is just a short list. The 12th canto gives graphic description. And the persons who are speaking that verse, these verses in the first canto, these are the sages of Naimisharanya. Their Kali Yuga is just beginning, and they have the capacity, through their knowledge of scripture and their elevated spiritual position, to see what's down the road, even before we get there. And just like, you know, it's the beginning of winter, we know what it's going to be like. It's going to get colder and the snow is going to come and so forth and so on. We know what the symptoms are. And from one year to another it might be some variation, but there's a theme. And the theme of Kali Yuga is degradation. Good qualities are practically destroyed to nil. Maybe traces, but those traces are so mixed with bad qualities, even the good qualities sometimes get misplaced, applied in ignorance, misguided. Persons who are guiding are themselves lost. So another verse in the Bhagavatam is, it's like the blind person leading the blind person. He said, Carol going down a path to find a way through the forest and good luck. And had sent a whole bunch of people behind her. Because her eyesight is weak from age. So she can't see very well, and then a bunch of people follow her and they're not going to see very well either. They're depending upon the person who has vision in the front. So if leaders don't have spiritual vision, what's going to happen to the rest? Fall in the ditch. That's the Bhagavatam version. And that's what's happening. So thoughtful persons understand this is a very dangerous situation. We need the means to go beyond this dangerous situation. So whether it's the human form of life, that has a good captain, the good captain, Karnadhara, who can speak the truth and give proper guidance. The function, Prabhupada has explained like this, the function of the brahmanas within society are like the function of the head in the body. The head has to have a brain, the head has to have eyes, and the head has to have a mouth. So the mouth speaks what the eyes can see and the brain can understand. And without the head and the body, you got a problem. Big problem. Without those who can see, the seers of the truth, society will have somebody else taking that position, the intellectuals who have been through the slaughterhouse education system and think God is dead. Or they have a really misplaced conception of what is God and what is to be done and what is not to be done. It's unavoidable. It's inevitable. And that's the symptom of this age of Kali. You can place the, Prabhupada places the blame on the leaders, but in another sense, the leaders are just, they're victims of this age of Kali. And therefore, those who are not victims of the age of Kali, like Sutta Goswami, should be accepted as the captains of the ship. We just, you know, follow the persons who are proper seers of the truth. And Sutta's qualification to be such seer of the truth, it's already been presented. in the first part of this first chapter is an important chapter. It's describing what are the qualifications of a teacher. Spoke with you about reading that essay. So what's the qualification? The qualifications, starting qualification, they say, you've heard from Shukadeva Goswami. When Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam, in the audience was Sutta. Sutta heard. And not only you heard, but equally important, maybe even more important, is you applied it. You assimilated this knowledge. How do you assimilate? It's like you assimilate food. You digest it and it goes into your system. And it becomes assimilated. So as with food, so with knowledge, you assimilate means it becomes part of your being. You've understood it, you can explain it not just theoretically, but you can explain from the place of realization. And because you're explaining from the place of realization, it removes all doubts of thoughtful persons. Like the question was asked last night about giving explanations to people, but people don't become convinced by those logical explanations. There's something besides logical explanations that's needed to convince people. And that's realization that comes from purity. Purity is when things that are true are applied in such a way that the Kali Yuga symptoms become eradicated. Just like here, just like this message from the Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. When the heart becomes cleansed, it shines, it radiates. One's whole being becomes, as Prabhupada used the phrase, bright-faced. There's a luster in the lives of persons who are spiritually situated. They look happy and they radiate. And conversely, persons that are very, very covered by the world of ignorance, they look bleak. You can just see from their countenance the difference between an elevated, a soul that's pure and a soul that's very bewildered, very contaminated, in a dark place. So where does light come into that dark place? It comes where there's the captain of the ship. So in this particular presentation, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying the ship means the scripture. So the scripture gives us the means to cross over the ocean, just as Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. One who becomes situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge can easily cross over the ocean of material existence, right, in Bhagavad Gita. So that's the boat. So the boat needs a captain. And if you got a boat trying to cross the ocean, it doesn't have a captain, you're in for a rough ride. Good luck. Because you're going to need it, because you don't have a good captain. And not having a good captain is part of the misfortune. So one who has a good captain has great fortune. And so Prabhupada is stating in the purport that thoughtful persons in the sage of Kali should follow the example of the sages of Naimisharanya. What is that example? They took shelter of Sutta Goswami. Or one who is a representative of Sutta Goswami. That how did Sutta Goswami become qualified? He heard and he applied and he became realized. He assimilated this knowledge. And one who hears from Sutta Goswami, or one who hears similarly in disciplic succession. Absolutely imperative. And if one goes to this side or that side, or avoids somehow, or just gets lost in the realm of speculation and somehow doesn't capture that message of disciplic succession, one's lost. The good captain is gone. One may have a ship, one can have the scripture, and just be lost. Just share this little historical experience that I personally witnessed when there was a printing press owned by ISKCON Press at the time. The devotees who were in charge of the publishing activity of Prabhupada's books asked Prabhupada, is it all right if we can print a Bhagavad Gita just with the verses, the kind that you can just put in your pocket and carry with you and from time to time refer to the verses? And at that time, the answer that Prabhupada gave was no. Because without the purports, people will not understand the verses. So what is the use? I'm giving them something they're not going to understand, or they may, in not understanding, misapply it. Our understanding comes from the purports. That's the good captain who is directing the ship that can take us across the ocean of material existence. Now, more recently, the BBT did decide to print Bhagavad Gita just with the slokas, and I don't know how they processed, you know, this other instruction that Prabhupada gave, I guess because some people do that anyways, they just want to memorize the verses. But without the purports, one may know the slokas, but one won't know the meaning. It's not possible. It's just not the descending knowledge process that Krishna has provided us with. It will not be understood, and then most certainly someone will have some conception, but it'll be a misconception. Guaranteed. However adamant they may be about the veracity of that conception, it'll be a misconception. And it will be an act of misguiding innocent people away from that which is going to rescue them from this ocean of faults. What a terrible ocean. There's an ocean of salt water, and then there's an ocean of faults. That's the sage of Kali. And how to cross over an ocean of faults. Kali Goshman Hey Raja. Kyasti Eka Mahan Gunan. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Brajet. By the Sankirtan process of given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given in the scriptures, guided by the suitable captain, the Karnadara, then one can cross over this ocean of faults that's characteristic of the age of Kali. Take away goodness, sattva haram, kalim sattva haram pungsam, you'll have something else. You won't have zero. You'll have bad qualities. Bad qualities and bad qualities and bad qualities. Prabhupada said, trying to preach to you Western devotees is like cleaning a lump of coal. What do you get? It just gets black, yucky stuff, and more black, yucky stuff, and more black, yucky stuff. The more you try to clean coal. But of course, coal when compressed, carbon when compressed, can make a glittering diamond. And this process of devotional service restores that. Fortunately, it's not just a lump of coal, but there's within the heart of every living entity is love of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has confirmed that. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi. And that Krishna prema, that diamond that's within, is the cleansing, is the process of devotional service, beginning with shravana, with beginning with hearing. Shravanadi shuddha chitte kariye udoy. So Bhagavatam is that boat, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This evening we're going to be introducing to our congregation the idea that we will be celebrating Gita Jayanti the following Sunday, next Sunday. That's why Bhagavad Gita has appeared on the altar. And I have a nice Gita recitation and Gita Yajna and glorification of Bhagavad Gita, Gita Mahatmya. But we can't, there's no question of approaching the glories of Bhagavad Gita, practically speaking, without glorifying Srila Prabhupada or the disciplic succession to bring us into the essence of that message. It's not accessible otherwise. Okay, so any discussion? Yes.
Last night, it seemed to me the big theme I got out of the talk last night was it's getting worse, we've got to do something.
Yes. That's one of the messages. And it's not, you know, somebody else has to do something.
We're responsible.
Yeah.
And then, here, it's just going to get so bad, so there's really nothing you can do about it. But is it seems to me, is it like we're on a boat and we almost going off the cliff and we gotta jump out and try to pull everybody along with us? Because we also experience that.
I missed I was thinking of something else when you were, the something else I was thinking of was The nature of the command of Lord Chaitanya is you make your life perfect by this hearing process, and as that perfection awakens or spiritual consciousness awakens, compassion will naturally flow from that, and that is, you'll have to do something. Or as Prabhupada says, if you see a blind man heading for a ditch, what gentleman can just let it happen? It's not that our task is, you know, we're saviors and we're going to rescue everybody. We have to do something. And that something, according to each individual capacity, is whatever we can do. But we can only try. But the first business is you have to nurture your own creeper of devotion. And by so doing, it naturally will follow that you must do something for others. That's where my thoughts were going. We can't, the mandate is not, you know, you pull this lever and the wheel of time stops. That's not going to happen. Kali Yuga will proceed. But some persons get to catch shelter. And the number of such persons and the qualities that such persons exhibit can be a complete contrast from the age of Kali. They'll stand out from the other characteristics. The good qualities will be restored. So, but that's where my thoughts were going when you spoke. What was your specific question? Does that answer it?
I guess partly because I'm pure, I'm thinking, what's the use even trying? I mean, we're heading down this, you know, but I understand.
It's two things. We can be relieved by taking proper shelter, and if Krishna so desires, he can allow us to help bring some relief to some others. Either back home, back to Godhead, or at least some relief. Again, restoring some good qualities. And that's, you know, where Nanda Kumar's question was coming. You know, for some people, a little bit is enough. And then some person's a little bit more is enough. And some person, so why do we get stuck? We become complacent because we want relief from distress. We get enough relief from distress, and so we become complacent. See you later, Krishna. The ongoing submission and surrender slackens because we're interested in a selfish way. And that's, so it's not, the process is not yet fully touching the heart. That when it's touching the heart, you have to do something. If one will feel compelled. You're sitting next to some hungry persons and someone gives you something to eat and you feel nourishment. You distribute that something to the other hungry people. Not just, I'm satisfied. You know, but it has to touch your heart. So you can't feed all hungry people. But you can, so we can give that which we've received, the mercy that we've received, to others, to whatever capacity we have. To whatever capacity we received it. And numerically, if there's some, even what Prabhupada said repeatedly, even if a very, we don't, in the age of Kali, we don't expect that all persons are going to be Krishna conscious. But even if a small percentage, sometimes he gave some very small numbers. If a few percent of the population actually become Krishna conscious, the whole face of the planet will change. That's how powerful the presence of devotees is. And whether that happens or not, that's in Krishna's hands. And our position is to serve, and controlling is in Krishna's department. He's got the results department and we have the service department. So we serve. And he's enjoining whatever the likelihood of prevailing is or isn't. We're servants. If not, what's the use? Okay.
I was just thinking that
I could tell you were thinking something.
Relative to this apparent, you know, uselessness of attempt, is that the proper conception might be to remember that the larger picture of the spiritual world is three-fourths, you know, the material world is only one-fourth, and it's temporary. So the spiritual world, the majority of you know, Krishna and his devotees and everything are eternal. They go on, you know, there, you know, everything will go back into Krishna and will come back out of Krishna, so that the majority of what's happening, you know, is positive forever and will always be happening. The material energy is a small part of that. And even though the Kali Yuga is going down, the eternal opportunity for those people who aren't looking in the right direction, to be exposed to someone who is what the devotees are all about. So we're taking a chance, even in an apparent, totally gloomy age, in the stream of time, this has happened before, it'll happen again. Our job is poised to try to deliver what message we've heard, no matter what condition it is. It's tell us, or whatever. There will always be some devotee on the planet trying to serve the Lord in some way. There will always be somebody that will be so disgusted that they'll be looking for that person. And the person will let that person be there. In the long run, it's not like everything's going over the cliff. We know the majority is in spiritual consciousness, is with Krishna. And every living entity is part of Krishna, and it's just like the compassion of Srila Prabhupada and Kalam Maharaj and all them were saying, it was like,
And part of your body is disease, you know, you want to do what we can to cure.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
For me, it's far more simple. It's just, our acharyas, what is my capacity for understanding things? But our acharyas' capacity is everything. Let me assist them. The things are, you know, they're the seers and I'm the assistant. Just blindly, like Prabhupada spoke, my Guru Maharaj said, and blindly I followed. And I had no idea, no expectation that what would come came. But because of that implicit faith, look what came. And is still continuing to come to people that have, that don't even get the opportunity to associate with devotees just by reading Prabhupada's books. Their lives are changing. There's such potency. So, my little pea brain capacity to understand something is just to have faith in the order of our acharyas and just follow it. And it's, you can see the magic happening when that faith is there. Again and again and again. It's magic. It's the hand of Krishna that just changes things when people accept that. And like you said, somewhere there's somebody ready. We don't know where that somebody is. We don't, you know, that's Krishna's department. Ours is the service department. Right? See the Prabhupada key?
Yeah. Yeah.